Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, opening the doors of the Bible bus as we depart for another great study in the Old Testament book of Amos. Today, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, takes us through the first six verses of chapter 3. But first, here are a few introductory remarks made by Dr. McGee about a conversation he had with a university professor in Hawaii many years ago.
He said, "You know, there are three enemies of Christianity today, and they are not atheistic, they are anti-Christian." And he meant by that more than being atheistic, they're actually against Christianity. And he enumerated them like this: the news media, politicians, and education. Now, whether he's accurate or not, I'm not prepared to say. From my viewpoint and the little that I know, I would say that he's accurate, that we are seeing today a tremendous transformation take place in our country. Because now there's come to age that group that were taught atheistic evolution and were not taught morals at all. Morality has gone out of the way. It's down the drain. And as a result, why we today have a contemporary culture that is becoming definitely anti-Christian. There is a feeling on the part of these three groups to look down at Christians. I have experienced that they are something more than we are. They are more intellectual. They are more broad-minded. The very interesting thing is they talk about me being a narrow-minded fundamentalist. The most narrow-minded group that I find today are these three. They're very difficult today to see my position at all. In fact, they just push you aside and move on. You're not considered today. The viewpoint of the Bible has not been presented through the news media. It has not been presented in education today, and it's not being presented by politicians today. And, some claim to be Christians, but they are not exemplifying that. So that probably we need an Amos. I'm wondering today if there might be a young man with courage that'll stand up and declare the Word of God to this nation in the future. We need that young man right now. And for the benefit of Women's Lib, maybe it might be a woman. I want to be very candid with you and say that I have hope that our school down here in South Los Angeles might turn out a man with a black skin and a white heart that will be raised up to stir this nation. And I think it could be done today. And I think God's people ought to pray, because the only light at the end of the tunnel happens to be revival. And revival can never come apart from the Word of God. So Christians everywhere, pray for our nation at this time. Pray for those that are influencing us so much today. And I'm afraid some of them are brainwashing.
That school Dr. McGee mentioned is the Los Angeles Bible Training School that he helped found back in the 1960s. Now let's invite the Lord to guide us into all truth as we study His Word. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that brings revival, and please refresh our hearts and minds as we learn more about the message that you gave through Amos. Help us to hear the lesson that you have for each one of us as we dedicate this time to knowing you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we are still in a prophetic book. In fact, in the Old Testament, we are going to spend the rest of the time in prophetic books. They all are books of prophecy. And in the New Testament, we'll spend most of our time there in the prophetic book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation. And the reason we're going to give an emphasis to the book of Revelation this time, as we've never done before, is because of not only the interest in prophecy today, but the very fact that there's so many indulging in fanaticism and sensationalism in attempting to set dates and say things that the Word of God does not countenance at all. Now, anyone that makes a statement that the Lord will come between now and 2000 A.D. is doing the same thing that a certain judge did when I was a boy and I went to hear him, and he had a famous message, millions now living will never die. Well, that crowd's just about all gone. A few of us are still around. I was just a boy when I heard him, but I don't think there are millions around today. It's always dangerous to make statements like that, and prophecy will not warrant that at all. And we have found concerning this man, Amos, that he's a very reasonable man, and he's an intelligent man, and he does not indulge in fanaticism at all. I must confess that some of his prophecies are rather sensational because of the fact that he's saying things that no one else was saying in that day. Now, as we come back to the third chapter, we found that he began by taking the nations round about, those that were contiguous to the nation Israel, those with whom they had to do, and pronounced judgment upon them. And then he pronounced judgment upon the southern kingdom of Judah. And then he came home. That is, he was the prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel, and he pronounces judgment upon them. And we come now again, and I think I'll read verse 1 again in chapter 3, and we'll go on from there. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. Now, this chapter deals with the 12 tribes of Israel. God's judgment upon the two nations, both Judah and Israel. They were separate, and they are treated that way in chapter 2. But now in chapter 3, the judgment is pronounced upon the 12 tribes, those that came out of the Assyrian captivity, those that came out of the Babylonian captivity. He calls them the whole family. And here now is that family he brought out of Egypt. They are divided now, the northern and southern kingdom. Now, in verse 2, he says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, and I take it of the nations of the earth. In other words, the sin of man after the flood was such that man at the Tower of Babel had departed from God. It was total apostasy at that time. And then God reached down in Ur of the Chaldees and called a man to get away from a home of idolatry and go to a place he'd show him. And he'd make of that man a nation and give him a land. Now, that's what he means here. You only have I known. In other words, in order to get a message through to the world, God had to use this method because at the Tower of Babel, man had totally rejected God. And the Tower of Babel was not built to get man up above the flood stage of water. That was never the point. It was an altar that was built apparently to the sun. And you can understand why. Because they had come through a flood, and they felt that the God that had brought the flood was the God of darkness, the God of the storm. And now they're going to worship the sun. And you find out that that was the worship that prevailed in that Tigris-Euphrates Valley, actually to this very day, the worship of the sun. And you have the worship of light under Zoroastrianism, even down to the present day. Now, after the flood, God chose this man, and now he takes a nation in order that he might use this nation to get a word, and he's giving the word through this nation, and finally, this word is to go to the world, and that's the reason that we are on the radio giving the total Bible. It's because we believe that this is God's message for the world today, not just John 3:16, as wonderful as that is, but his message for the world is not John 3:16 only, but 66 books of the Bible. And all of those books, we believe we need to know it all. Now, he says, you only have I known of the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Now, God says, I intend to judge you. Now, the nation Israel occupied this unique relationship to God. God gave them the commandments. That was the reason that he said, he judged Judah. I gave you the commandments. And God judged Israel because of the fact that they had broken so many of the commandments. And you see, light always creates responsibility. A privilege creates a greater responsibility than when a nation is in darkness. And this is a great principle that God puts down here. It is that he intends to judge those that have received light in a harsher manner than he would judge others. You know, the Lord Jesus mentioned the fact that some would receive few stripes, others more stripes. And my friend, I've made this statement many times as a pastor. I would rather be a heathen Hottentot in the darkest corner of this earth, bowing down before a stone idol that is ugly and hideous. I'd rather be that Hottentot than to be a civilized so-called man in this country who sits in a church on Sunday morning and hears the gospel and do nothing about it. That man that hears the word has a greater responsibility than the man out yonder. And that means there are different degrees of punishment, by the way. And now he makes it very clear that he intends to punish them for your iniquities. Now, a great many, they like to hear about the love of God, and it's wonderful. And I don't think anyone's emphasized the love of God more than we have. I think that it's something that we need to rest upon, and it's something that we need to rejoice in. But we need to recognize also that when the love of God is rejected as it's manifested in the cross of Christ, because actually that's the only place you really see the love of God, when he gave his son, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That's where he revealed it. And when that love is rejected, then nothing is left but punishment. Now, a great many people don't think God ought to punish, but since they are not running the universe, I'm of the opinion that their viewpoint will not be followed, nor I do not think God will listen to it. God already says that he's a holy, righteous, just God, and he intends to punish, and that this is a reasonable thing, it's a logical thing. And we have here, beginning with verse 3, a very interesting set of questions. In fact, there are 7 questions that are asked and answered, and these questions are quite logical and reveals what a matter-of-fact prophet Amos really was. This man got right down, friends, to the place where 2 + 2 = 4. He got right down where you and I live today. And here we find him dealing with certain great truths. And actually, as others have pointed out, what you have here, this man Amos, who was from the country way down yonder in Tekoa in the wilderness, he draws from his long experience down there these lessons in nature, in the natural world. And he learned something that a great many folk need to learn today that do not really know where a great many things come from. I never shall forget when my daughter was growing up here in Pasadena at her school, they took them out to a dairy. And she came home with the most exciting news that you ever heard, friend. She told us that milk came from a cow. She thought that you got it over at the market, that you just reached in and took out a bottle or a paper carton of milk, and that's where it originated. It was an amazing fact. Well, this man, Amos, he's a countryman. He knows a great deal about nature, and it reveals he'd observed things. Now he's going to mention some of them as we go along. The first question is this. Can two walk together? Can two walk together? Yes. Except they be agreed. They can't go together if they're not in agreement. I watched a young couple the other day, haven't been married long, and they were walking down the street arm in arm, and all of a sudden, she turned around and stamped her little foot and started walking back toward their home, and he kept going. They weren't walking together. Something had happened. They'd had a disagreement, probably one of their first fights, by the way. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Here is a cause and an effect. The cause is there must be agreement if you're to walk together with God. And the result will be, if you're to walk with Him, there must be agreement. Now, that doesn't mean that God's going to come over and agree with you. You and I will have to come over and agree with Him. Someone has said that God rides triumphantly in His own chariot. And if you don't want to get under the wheels of those chariots, you better get aboard and ride. After all, God is carrying through His purpose in the world. You and I got here pretty late, you know, and frankly, we're not going to be here very long. So your will and my will, it will not prevail at all. I was very much interested in visiting in England those castles at Windsor Court, at Windsor Castle, Hampton Court, where Henry VIII, and I think of poor Henry VI, and I think of Richard II. Some of those boys made a trip to the Tower, lost their heads there. The very interesting thing is they had their way for a little while, Henry did, but nobody's paying attention about what Henry VIII thought or what he did. My friend, may I say to you that if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to go His way. Now, let's keep moving. That's the first question, and it's a great principle that is put down here. How can two walk together except they be agreed? The second question is, verse 4, will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Of course not. A lion, you know, goes through the forest stealthily, quietly, silently, padded feet, never even crushes or breaks a limb. And then when he pounces on his prey and has his prey, you can hear him roar. He's not going to roar lest he gets his prey. And the other is, will a young lion cry out of his den if he've taken nothing? No, the little lion, he doesn't make a sound. His mama told him to keep quiet while she was away getting something for him to eat, getting his supper. And when she comes back with it and he sees it, then he lets out a real squeal, and at that time he lets out a cry, but not till then. You see, there is always a cause and a result, and the judgment of God follows man's iniquity. And it will follow. Now, we come to the fourth question. Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no trap is for him? Of course not. That's perfect nonsense to say that you can catch a bird by, and they told me as a boy that if you just put salt on their tail, you could catch them. And as a kid, I ran all over the whole neighborhood trying to get salt on a bird's tail, but didn't work. And the problem was the same principle that is here. You can't catch the bird without a trap, you see. And in nature, there is always this principle that is followed, cause and effect. If you're going to catch a bird, you're going to have a trap. Now, we have another one here. Shall one take up a snare from the earth and take a nothing in it at all? A man's not just going to keep setting a trap if he's not catching anything. I used to have 6 traps as a boy, and I would ride down on my bicycle every morning before school in the fall of the year to see if I'd caught anything. And generally in 6 traps, one of them would have a possum in it, maybe a rabbit, and sometimes a skunk, and I gave the skunk always to a friend of mine, and he went down and got it. You could get more for the fur, but I didn't care for the scent. And so when I had a trap in a place, and day after day, nothing was in it, why, that's foolish to leave it there. I moved it to some other place. If you're going to put out a trap now, you expect to catch something in the trap. Now, the 6th verse here, shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? When there is the sound of alarm given, are people not going to be afraid? Now, God has said he's going to judge the people, and judgment is coming. It's rather foolish not to respond to that there be an effect from that, you see. And that we're not listening to the prophet any more than this nation is listening to the word of God today. Then shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it. Now, the word evil here does not mean that which is sinful or wrong. It means calamity, our judgment for that matter. And shall there be a calamity in the city? And that means, friends, that always in this world, as far as God's children are concerned, there's no such thing as an accident. No such thing as an accident for a child of God today. There must be a cause for the effect. There has to be. And God is not moving this universe today in some foolish, idle manner. And therefore, when there's a calamity, there ought to be a lesson learned from it. I believe that if America had learned the lesson of the Dust Bowl and of the drought period and the Depression, that we would never have had to fight World War II. We just didn't listen. And we didn't listen in World War II. And then we went to Vietnam. And we are not listening today at all. And my friend, if you think prosperity is just around the corner, may I say to you, we haven't come to that corner yet. God will not let any nation dwell in peace and prosperity when they're in sin. Oh, they may have a period of it, but judgment will come. Now, we're going to follow through on that next time. This is a tremendous section, friends. And if you think Amos is a fanatic, I think you're wrong.
Those are some strong words to consider, particularly in light of our struggles today. Could it be that some of our country's recent issues may be God's judgment on our nation? Well, it's certainly something that Dr. McGee would have us consider in light of these lessons in Amos. You know, one thing is clear from all of Scripture, really. No matter what the economic climate happens to be, we're told to proclaim the saving work of Jesus Christ to the nations. The gospel isn't bound or constricted or even restricted by prosperity or poverty. Essentially, no matter who you are, where you live, or what you do, in order to be saved, you have to have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, as Dr. McGee said today, that's the mission of this ministry, to take God's whole word to the whole world and to make sure that every man, woman, and child has the chance to hear the name of Jesus and to know God through His word. So if you'd like to know more about how you can invest your prayers and gifts with us, please visit ttb.org or call us today at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Your support means so much as together we reach out with God's word in more than 120 languages and dialects. And we'd like to help you spread the word as well. So if you'd like to share through the Bible with family and friends, why don't you visit us at ttb.org. There you'll find all of Dr. McGee's messages for free download and a store filled with materials for purchase, including the Bible Bus flash drive that contains all 5 years of Through the Bible's programs. It's just one of the many resources that we offer that we think will help you deepen your personal study and then to pass on your passion for God's word to those that you love. Get yours and get one to share when you visit ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Does God give people a warning before he brings judgment? Well, that's what we'll learn tomorrow as our study of Amos continues. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat on the Bible bus just for you.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know him yet?